Well, good afternoon and welcome to this board meeting. As you have noticed, you all have an agenda before you, so we are going to use this agenda for our board meeting today. And now, obviously, maybe not all of you are in the school board as such, but some of the principles that we'll learn from this meeting can be applicable to multiple different scenarios, any type of meeting situation that we deal with. I was thinking about rearranging the classroom a little bit, but can we do an arrangement where everybody's just kind of in a circle, just make a quick arrangement so we can all see each other's faces? If we have a big half moon, because I probably should stay in front of this thing, then that will work. There you go. Just scoot yours back a little bit if you want to. Okay. Several of the objectives of this meeting are that we're trying to figure out how to have a board meeting that, just grab your chairs and pull them on over to the side here. And do you all need a handout or anything? How can we have a board meeting that gets accomplished what we want it to accomplish in a decent amount of time, instead of having all these little bunny trails that go off when you talk about anything and everything and that kind of a thing, okay? So that's kind of the question behind what we're trying to address today with redeeming the board meeting time. One of the first things that I did was research with different board members from across the country. I called teachers first of all and asked, who was the most efficient board member that you know of that you could refer me to get some information? And I got quite a bit of names. Some I did not actually use, and some of these that I did not actually use are in here today. I won't tell you who you are, but I'm hoping you'll give input. Some of them, there's quite a few of them that I use that are not actually sitting in here with us today. So we have their input from a distance. But one of the main things that I heard from everyone I talked to, they all brought up, you have to have an agenda. I'm leading by example. I gave you an agenda. So that is what we're going to cover today, is our agenda. We only have about 45 minutes for this one. We need to be finished by 4:00. So first of all, I want you please to give your feedback freely and do it as promptly as it comes into your mind after giving it a second thought. What is the benefit of an agenda?
Saving time.
Keeps you on track.
Keeps you on track.
Think ahead.
Thinks ahead.
And I'll see what we're going to talk about.
Everybody's on the same page. Okay, let's go on to the second question. What does your agenda, or what should it include? Pertinent issues. And so that means whoever is getting the agenda together, typically it's the school board chairman in this case, he needs to have contact with the teachers and the principal to know what's going on. Otherwise, he won't know what the pertinent issues are. So your pertinent issues, he's got to have those on there. Any other things?
Future schedule.
A future schedule, okay? Because there's field trips, there's multiple different things that come into that. What time of the year do you ask your teachers to teach again? Or, you know, it can go anywhere. So schedules.
Yeah.
Budget.
Okay.
Old business, new business.
Old business, new business.
Unfinished items.
And we're going to touch more on what kind of items we have later on that unfinished versus finished items as well.
Problems.
Schools don't have problems, do they? Not yours. Okay. Any others?
Background information.
Like what kind of background information? Do you have anything in mind?
Here's the issue. This is what's happened to this point. Who's been talked to? What's been said?
Okay.
So we know those things.
Okay. All those are great things to put on an agenda. One of the things that I got that was not mentioned here yet is putting a fun fact about school on the school board agenda when you hand it out. That was an interesting twist that I liked. I didn't actually put one on this agenda because the fact is that we don't have a school here to put a fun fact on. So we didn't do that.
Whatever board it is something that inspires the board beyond what their collective knowledge might be. So if it's a school board meeting, whether it has something to finish the school education, or just something inspirational to broaden the vision.
Okay. That would definitely be a good thing to add in there. Okay, when is a good time to share the agenda with the school board?
When the fire's getting hot ahead of time.
Okay, ahead of time. How much ahead of time is best?
Twenty-four to 48 hours,
okay? And Ruby laughs.
You're right.
Too far ahead of time, you'll forget what was on the agenda. The 48 hours would be pushing that borderline for me. 24 would work.
But sometimes it's helpful to have it several days ahead to process, think, research maybe. You know, maybe the board members, it's a complex enough issue, they want to do some themselves.
Exactly.
Maybe just the day ahead is not quite enough.
And I think that depends on what issues you have.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's good. And let's say the week your board meeting is, it's on Monday, but you want to get it out before the weekend.
Yes. Okay. I'll slip up on this one a little bit. When we were doing our board meetings, typically what we did, we had the board meet first, and the board meetings before I came was on as chairman, we never did have an agenda that was passed out. The agenda thing was a totally new idea to a lot of them, and I just passed out the agenda when the board got there, passed out the agenda so they could see what was going. And so I did part of this, but I didn't do all of it. And I would do some things differently were I in that position again. But that's one of the things that I have really liked, and it's something that was started that all the other board members or chairmen after me have done that now. Whether it'll keep on, I don't know, but it has up to this point, and we do really like it, having an agenda like that.
An agenda at the meeting is better than no agenda at all.
You're right. Because you can still see everybody can be on the same page. And if I, as a chairman, happen to miss one of my points on my agenda, and I have done that multiple times, I can write it down and it's right in front of me, but I will still miss it. And one of the board members will say, hey, what about this? What? Oh, yeah, we didn't do that. So I'm very famous at that. It's called my dyslexia, I think. Okay. When should the rest of the board have a chance of adding to the agenda? Or should the rest of the board have a chance at adding to the agenda? Okay, now would that be, if you had a couple days before, would that be before the agenda was passed out the first time? That you know there's a board meeting coming up and you would like to have an opportunity to add to the agenda and you would call the chairman before he gets the agenda together? Or does the chairman hand you the agenda and says, if you have anything extra to add to it, let me know?
I guess usually what I was used to was before and now it's the board meeting. And the board members can have some input on the agenda and it can be done.
So let's say a week before the meeting, it would be announced that there's going to be a board meeting next so-and-so?
2 or 3 days. I mean, but we kind of have it on a set.
Okay.
Day.
So a couple days before that, and then if you have anything to add to the agenda, you let the chairman know. That would be one way of doing it. Any other input on the number four there?
Well, there's communication ahead of time. I mean, hopefully you're communicating about these issues and all the board knows about the issue. Could be a board member that knows something the others don't know. So in that case, that should be on the agenda probably.
Okay.
Well, everybody's in the dark except me. So you may know what I mean.
Right. There's sometimes that happens depending how fresh the issue is. That yes. The only one that knows about it is, say, the chairman. Right, hearing what our children are saying without them realizing we are listening can be a good thing, good way of gathering information to put on there. Okay, anything else that you'd have as far as input on the agenda of what should be included or anything about an agenda before we drop the agenda part? Okay, let's move on to a proper atmosphere. Now, I want you to give me honest feedback, okay? Did you feel more comfortable when everybody was sitting in rows? Or do you feel more comfortable like we're set up right now? If you like the first setup better, raise your hand.
You mean for a board meeting?
Right now. Okay, for our board meeting. Yeah, this one. How many of you like this setup a lot better? Okay, part of that, the reason for doing this was to give you an example of creating a proper atmosphere. Are you in a way that you can all see each other? It gets really frustrating if I'm talking and there's a bunch of people behind me and only a few in front of me. I don't know how to connect with them. And so if we're going to see each other and we're going to interact together as a board, we've got to be able to make eye contact with each other as we do our meeting. So having a comfortable atmosphere. Coffee.
Yes.
Is a must, according to some people. We have some in our board meetings that laugh at the coffee drinkers and then the coffee drinkers laugh at the non-coffee drinkers. So, you know, that's part of the comfortable atmosphere of the board meeting. And I thought about doing something today, but wasn't able to do this, so I will let you imagine that you're eating a nice big round donut right now while we're doing this, okay? We do make donuts on Saturday Farmers Market, but I didn't put any in the freezer and bring them down here for this, so I guess you're without your donut to add to
the kitchen here?
No, they don't know how to do those down here in this kitchen. No, I'm sure they could. Yes. Okay, what do we have? Do we have anything else to create a good atmosphere?
Air-conditioned room.
Okay. Comfortable temperature is what we can interpret that as. In the winter, an air-conditioned room wouldn't feel so good.
Icebreaker, absolutely. The tension at first.
Okay.
What was that?
An icebreaker. In other words, something to not have a tension build up, just to kind of break it and relax.
Isn't that what the discussion about the tractors and stuff is for?
Well, maybe the discussion about the tractors and the donuts was to do that. Okay, so what do we do with that? Do we just let it go on and on, or do we bring it back to what we're looking at?
It needs to stop after 1 minute 30 seconds.
It needs to stop after anything longer than 30 seconds, is that what you said?
Well, I said 1 minute 30 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, approximate things. Okay?
Our board always starts with, and I'm not on the board now, but with 20 minutes of devotions or so. So it gets your mind in proper frame. I guess that's part of the atmosphere.
Yes. We would do, I don't know if we have a set time as such with that, but we would start it with a prayer and a devotional as well.
I remember being on the board and and that creates tension with most of, I suppose, the Mennonite folks and the brethren. We were pretty punctual, and that just had to deal with it. And it was not, I think to be punctual on the, you know, 14 to 7, let's try to.
Donuts and donuts after the starting time. They're late, they missed the donuts.
Yeah, I was thinking, put the donuts right at the beginning. But yes, I agree. If you're not punctual, especially if it's a habitual thing of being late, that really is frustrating. One of the things, if you have an agenda, it's easier to keep moving on to the next thing. You don't want to rush things, but you do want to keep things moving. And yet there's a balance between being too rushed and too relaxed. You can be relaxed, but you don't want to get draggy. Okay, we've expired this discussion, but we sit on it. Anybody else have any thoughts? Well, the thoughts were all spoken, but I'm not sure what the chairman is wanting, if he's wanting to discuss it all over again before he makes a decision or what. But, okay, let's keep moving. Let's not just push where it's not appropriate to push. The next question, how can we make so both the outspoken and the timid members are heard? This is one that I would really like to have some feedback on. Okay, in other words, everybody take their turn working around, okay? That can be a good way to do it. But I have a problem with that one, a situation that can come from that I want to bring up a little bit later. But do any of you others have any more feedback on how you can bring in, help the timid ones, or the ones that are just a little bit more quiet to be coming out with it, feel comfortable to do that, and mesh that with the more outspoken ones?
I never like to be put on the spot, but on the other hand, I think the chairman can say, John, we haven't heard from you yet, and I'm sure you have thoughts. Can you express your thoughts for us on this? So, you know, that puts you on the spot, but if time goes by, it gives an opportunity to be thinking, and surely they have something by now.
Yes, okay, so being asked specifically, do you have thoughts?
I was kind of thinking on the same line that the chairman can be observant, and he sees, sometimes you can see when people want to speak, but they're scared of it. So he's kind of put on, he might have something to say, so you got something.
And there again, if you're sitting in a way that you can see everybody, you can see somebody's eyes, you can just tell they have something that they're just kind of starting to say, their mouth just kind of moves a little bit, and there's been times, so.
They turn red and start sweating.
Yeah, that happens too sometimes. I'm serious. I have seen a board member do that. And if you ask him to share his thought, it relieves it, actually. There's some people that really have a hard time working up enough nerve to speak.
It isn't just the chairman's responsibility, though. Sometimes the chairman can get so engrossed in his own thoughts and his own processing of what's being said that he loses track of who's contributing and who's being silent. And it's perfectly in order, in my estimation, now, for another board member to say to another board member, what are you thinking? What's your perspective on this? Instead of just, well, there's a thing. Why doesn't he ask so-and-so what he thinks? Get up there and ask it yourself.
Okay, so the thing of another board member asking a third board member what they're thinking if the chairman is cogitating and, yeah. In other words, this is us together discussing this thing. It's not just me running this thing, okay? Now I'm going to bring in the problem that I had with what Mike was talking about. What if you have a situation that you you know that if you ask a question, let's say it's on curriculum, you ask a question and there's one of the members of the school board is outspoken and very influential in his thoughts, and he states his opinion before the others have really had much time to state their opinion or to even cogitate their opinions. And then because of his clout, if you want to call it that, everybody else just says, How do you work with that? Okay, opening it up, does anybody see a flip side of what was just spoken?
I think it's important to prepare ourselves for these type of meetings and saying that we're open. I've been to meetings where I went in my mind and decided how an issue should be and listened to the others, completely changed my mind. And I think we need to be thinking about things like that. I think that, yeah, it's good to state our opinion sometimes, but be listening a lot.
Okay. It's good to have an opinion maybe, but be very open to another person's perspective on the thing and get a rounded, well-balanced opinion instead of a one-sided opinion that we tend to have.
I was complaining to an older teacher one time about our board a little bit, and he looked at me, and there was quite a diversity of feelings, and I don't even remember what the issue was, but he just kindly told me, he said, we need our bookends.
Yes.
I really like that. You know, there's somebody that's going to give the whole checkbook away, and there's the person over here that just squeezes their nickel. We need them both.
Yes, we do.
But it's important that they're heard. And so
we're together on a board. It's not a one-man show.
I'm talking about outspoken, timid, proper atmosphere. I don't know if any of the rest of you ever experienced it, but if you go to a board meeting, you've got to discuss your own child. And I think that can kind of show who you really are.
Yes, discussing your own child can definitely be a challenge.
And I don't know how to fit that in here with that, but
that wouldn't really be a comfortable atmosphere.
Well, we have a situation up there where I'm the administrator and chairman, and it's just a small school. And so the minister would ask me this Sunday what I thought of that. And I said, well, when he did it, he said, why? One suggestion. He said, if it involved my daughter's teaching and I have one child in school, so if it involves your daughter or your child, he said, with Carl, the second board member, I said, I like that. So that's why we're going to announce that the board meeting, that if there's anything that they have a concern about, my child or my daughter that's teaching, Carl's one, they don't contact the chairman, they contact him. And then he decides whether he can work it out with me or whether we need to have a board meeting.
Okay.
I thought that was good wisdom on our ministry.
Yes. Working out family relations outside through a different board member instead of keeping it all to the chairman.
I don't think those situations necessarily have to be tense. If my child or my daughter or whatever is involved, if I have the right attitude,
right.
If I say it's up to you folks to decide. This is my family. I'm out of it.
That's right. If we are emptied of self, then it's not as big of an issue, but it does knock a little bit closer and a little bit harder when it's my child. I've experienced that.
Yes, the reason I like that helps eliminate that possibility, because my first reaction generally is to protect my own.
Right.
And one thing I have tried to learn in the past is be careful of my first reaction, because my first reaction wrong, but it helps protect that first reaction.
Right. One of the school board chairmen that I had talked to on this particular issue gave the idea that he talks to each one of the board members. If there's a major decision coming up, a major issue, he will talk with each one of the board members individually beforehand. Gives them the details of the thing, this is aside from the agenda, and gets feedback from them. Why? This is what can happen. The timid man that may really feel this way, but because this bold man said this, he may just tend to switch to his side. He knows that someone else in the room also knows really how he feels, and so he's emboldened to say, but I feel this way because I see this in a different light. I thought that was an interesting way of doing it. But that would be mainly for your bigger items that you could do that.
That would be for, you might say, research before the meeting, but not to make a decision outside the meeting.
Exactly. And then the board, the chairman, can actually pull all those different opinions together into one statement or into a statement on the agenda if he wants to. And we have these opinions. Have you thought of more opinions to add to this before we, you know, as we discuss this? And it can alleviate everybody from being the one guy that might have the really different focus. So that's another way we can do
it. I think that somehow we have to, in a board setting, when we're a member of a board, we have to share our opinions or our thought in a way that it's not dominating. I'm not there to make the sole decision and to gain, you know, support for it. I need to be a part of the board and realize that I'm here to give my best advice, but it may or may not be the path that's chosen.
Right.
So I just think that in the Christian setting, it just has to be, we have to give. I mean, and we have to receive and hear from the board members. Otherwise, it fails to be a board decision.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Respect everybody. So I think that the motions helps to help keep that in there and to share together and put that atmosphere.
the influential one ahead of the meetings and just saying, you realize that, by being the first to express a strong opinion, you're squelching the discussion, just in front of them. And likewise, talking to the go-along one, or the silent one, and say, you were elected to do more than what you do. Just step back to the plate.
Okay. In other words, telling the bold one, just slack off and let the other one come up ahead. Mm-hmm. Telling the one that's just kind of following along, hey, come on. You can do a little bit more. Share your feelings. That can be a big step of faith.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
A lot of times, chairman is in control, who to ask first. Maybe not just to ask everybody, but related to the certain people. And you can ask, quieter people to have them speak out first.
Okay, so if the chairman does a specific name asking, Jerry, how do you feel about this? Or, Mike, how do you feel about this? You have somebody, he's got to say how he feels, whether he's the one that typically wants to speak up first or not.
What if they said just what the rest of you think?
Well, then if he's the first one to speak and he says whatever the rest of you think, they say, you don't know what the rest of us think. Are you sure about that? Yeah, there you go. What should they be thinking? How can you bring decisions together in a timely manner? That's the next point that we want to look at. How do you know how long to let go on some of these decisions? So any principles that you thought of that how you can bring decisions to resolution in a timely manner? Okay, maybe we can find some answers. Now, go ahead.
I think to the meeting when chairman would say, we have 5 minutes for each item. Watch the clock, get it done.
Okay, setting a time limit for each item. Maybe it's the chairman's decision what happens if you haven't come up with a decision at that point, huh?
I think it would definitely depend on the type of issue.
Okay.
If it's July 1st and you still need to decide which history book you're switching to in a certain class, maybe that decision, that's one type of thing. If it's something of a completely different nature, and depending on the magnitude of the decision, I think should gauge how quickly. Sometimes it's, and we've already said, well, we're gonna, here's the issue. It's a little difficult to decide. Maybe we need some time. Maybe we want to talk to some of the parents, see what some input is, and then come back to the next meeting, or have a special meeting to finalize the decision. So I don't know that there's a glove that's going to fit every hand or every situation. I mean, I don't think we can quite spell it out in one sentence, but I think you have to use wisdom and judgment.
In a way, my next two questions kind of combine here. I wasn't sure how to separate them and everything. When should you push for resolution and when should you put it off? It kind of comes right into this thing of what we're talking about with how can you bring it to a close in a timely manner. But what we were discussing just a little bit back about the thing of the chairman talking with the board members individually beforehand, that can also speed up the resolution of an issue quite majorly, because he's engaged with them and they are also having their time after that engagement to go then think about what the chairman said. The chairman's thinking about what he said. He's thinking about what he said. And he may come up with a more input to bring up at board meeting. But there's a process that has started. And if you wait till board meeting to get that process started, you have to let it run its course to the finish. And that can take a long time. So
it seems like one general principle would be that if the board is unified on an issue, deal with it, move ahead. Don't keep talking about it. Finish it. Make a voice and move on. But if there's division, and I know church council meetings are different than board members, board meetings, but there's a little bit of similarity. You know, if we find that half the congregation has a feeling and the other half has another feeling, it's just really not wise to force it to a decision.
Right.
Sometimes I agree with you, there's just not an easy one fit all answer. But.
So in short, if the board is in agreement with everything, go ahead and make your decision and move on. If you're divided and it's not an urgent thing that can wait for another meeting, finish it out at the next meeting. Go ahead.
There might be some times where it's a complex issue and it's hard to keep all this in your mind as you're thinking which way should I go vote on something. But if you could write it down and put what are the pros and the cons so everybody can see that, and then they can form their own weighting on an issue and maybe have a better voice than just saying, you know, how do you feel? I mean, are you ready to vote? And which way do you want to go?
So, chairman, don't be scared to use the chalkboard. If you're having it at school, chalkboard is available. Write all the pros on the one side and all the cons on the other. Of course, I'm a teacher at heart, so I use the chalkboard quite freely, and I don't like whiteboards.
Probably want to erase it before you leave.
Yes, please do erase it before you leave. Or the students will know what the board meeting was about. And the teachers too, yes.
I think that calls for special wisdom of the chairman to decide, shall we bring this to a board or shall we not bring it to a board? And I think, as a chairman, I think sometimes you need to ask, are we ready to vote on this? And if we're not, we probably get away. But if we're ready to go, like you said, we're unified and we're, let's vote, let's get going, let's move ahead.
Okay, so chairman needs to have discernment. When is a good time to go ahead and when is a good time to not move ahead? And sometimes if the chairman doesn't know, just ask, do you feel ready to vote on this issue? And there might be one brother says, no, I absolutely don't. And everybody else says, yeah, I'm ready. Well, if that one brother says, no, he's not ready. If this is not an urgent matter, let it go. Give him the time that he needs because he's part of the board. We are all important parts of this board, and we are not to run over each other. That's not the teamwork.
Do any of you use Robert's Rules of Order where, you know, someone would make a motion, and if there's a second, Robert's Rules of Order would say that if there's a motion and a second, there needs to be a voice on it. I don't know. I just don't know if you use that.
We use it already, especially if there's one more touch.
We personally have not used that, but I don't know. Can't say for the rest of you.
I guess I've never served on a board where I felt there was a timid person on it. Very few things to a vote. We discuss it till we know how we all feel.
And if you come into a board setting knowing that you are expected to share how you feel and everybody will accept that, that's going to make a big difference on how open you are with each other.
I suppose the biblical principle of let the younger submit to the elder would have some application in that setting. Sometimes it feels a little uncomfortable to have the newest kid on the block, you might say, and being very forceful and demanding, and that doesn't go well usually.
Right.
And that takes direction.
So giving respect to the eldest in there, they have more weight than the young man that just got onto the board. But there's also a flip side to that one. There is schools that I know of that somebody has been on the board for 30 some years, okay? They got put into the school board when their children were in school. Obviously, their children aren't still in school if they're on there for 30 some years. And so what happens? They are thinking in the same terms as what the school was back when their children were in school. And so at that point, if new things come up, they can't process your new curriculum. They can't process a lot of those newer aspects of things. And some of them realize that, and some of them just think we can't change. That can be a challenge.
Term limits, right? We do now. We didn't used to, but yeah, because of
two-term limits.
That, two terms, you have to be off one before you can serve.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Three-year term.
Okay.
Like I said, you know, we don't bring a lot to the vote. There are things we do, but we're dealing with a school that at least half or maybe a little half are non-member families. And so it takes a lot of discussion. It's pretty hard to come up with a cut and dried answer really fast.
Okay.
And just for what that's
worth. Yes.
Just like to add one thing about board meetings is keep records to show what your decisions are, because 5 years down the line, if it's not clear, the next board won't know and they may have to face the same issue again.
Yes. And this is where I'll bring in this 30-year school board thing. Okay, our secretary of our school board has been on for 30-some years, okay? The beauty about this thing is he has been secretary that whole time. He has all the minutes and he knows where to look. It's better retrieval system than a computer for him. So that's an upside to that. So how do you know when you should bring a board meeting to an end?
It's midnight.
Midnight?
When the bell rings twice.
One question
that's been going through my mind is to answer that question is, do I have enough information?
Okay.
To make a reasonable response.
In other words, did I get enough information to make a reasonable conclusion?
Or are things so still obscure that I really don't need to improve?
Okay.
Does nobody set an ending time? I mean,
that's a good idea.
I'm new to my board, but we end at 9 o'clock, and that takes care of that problem.
That's wonderful. I've set the ending board meetings from 12 to 1 o'clock.
Did you remember, those of you that were in here when we started, did you remember what I told you, one of the first things that I told you?
We have 45 minutes.
Okay. We have 45 minutes. Why did I do that? To be an example. If you set an ending time from the beginning, everybody knows this is what we're going to go towards. Okay, if we're coming up like this, we only have a couple minutes yet, and we have some things that are not resolved. If there are things that can wait and can't be resolved quickly, just say, look, we have these things that need to be resolved, but we're going to have to put them off because we are going to go past our ending time. And we don't want to do that. Now, I will say, if there's something that we can resolve quickly, and let's get this decision finished so that the teachers can know what to do, let's get that done so we can end. But you've got to be conscious of the ending time in order to keep it in that time frame. And that'll also be a little bit of a hot shot to, you know, keep the thing moving.
I was going to say on that score, if you're going to be that precise, then you better be, okay, that story took 5 minutes, so we're adding 5 minutes to our ending time. That one took 15, so.
That might be a way to do it, right? It might scare them off of their stories. Yes, if the stories start happening, it's definitely time to end. So I think that we're going to conclude with that. Thank you very much for your help.